Welcome to Fear the Fro.
Shot clock by Mobley. Holy Mobley. Donovan Mitchell is 8 for 8 from downtown.
Darius Garland hit it from Euclid. Lobbed out. Pow. Oh, that was gorgeous.
A Cleveland Cavalier podcast.
What do we need to add? What do we need to give the coach?
The game has come down to space and opportunity.
We address that.
Hosted by the voice of Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, his name is Bob Schmidt.
Bob Schmidt.
Spectacular talent.
That guy is a legend.
Got it, the buzzer!
Welcome to the Fear the Fro podcast. Thank you for joining me for this edition. I am Bob Schmidt, lifelong Cav fan, voice of Fox Sports Radio. I'm going to get into the game. I'm going to timestamp this podcast. So if you want to get right into the Utah action, you can do that. But I'm recording this segment prior to that because there are some things I wanted to discuss that have cropped up since the Cavaliers began this backslide around All-Star break. But really, the story I want to speak to is the Donovan Mitchell, Dan Gilbert, now all of a sudden he's back to leaving story. At the end of March, Dan Gilbert finally made some public comments to the press about Donovan Mitchell and his possibility of re-signing. Now, he was asked them. He didn't offer them up unsolicited. Because he's not really made himself available to the media very often due to his health issues, due to the death of his son, he hasn't been on record much talking about what he thinks would happen with Donovan Mitchell. I'm going to read you the quote. "We've been talking to him, sure, for the last couple of years about extending the contract. We think he'll extend. I think if you listen to him talk, he loves the city. He loves the situation in Cleveland because our players are very young and we're just kind of putting the core together that he's clearly the biggest part of." Now, I saw that quote and I gave it literally no mind because the context is it's coming from the owner of the fucking Cavaliers who desperately need Donovan Mitchell to resign. And yet, I saw people upset at Dan Gilbert for, quote-unquote, speaking on behalf of Donovan. I don't think Donovan Mitchell is out here saying, "How dare you speak on my behalf about me loving the city of Cleveland and liking the core because they're young." I never said those things. Because, first of all, he has said those things.
I'm really excited about what we've got going here.
He's never been committal about his future here, but he's praised the fans. He's praised DG. He's defended him when all the fans were shitting on him. He's praised Jared Allen to the ends of the earth. Even in his expletive-filled rant that was supposed to signal he had one foot out the door, he praised Caris LeVert. This idea that Donovan Mitchell, a veteran, is sitting there saying, "How dare my employer speak to my future contract situation, which I have intentionally chose to let loom because it's more beneficial to me. How dare he say a single word expressing optimism it will be resolved in his favor? How dare he?" I have two thoughts on that. The first is, I think if we're at that level of operating from an abject sense of terror, that we're trying to muzzle Dan Gilbert from something as harmless as optimism of our chances, we're already fucking doomed. I understand. There's a certain level of just capitulating that we've all kind of ingrained into our fan experience having lived through the LeBron era. But I assure you, we don't need to tread that lightly. It's okay for the guy who can give Donovan Mitchell in excess of $50 million a season to express his hope that continued partnership is on the horizon. What gets Donovan Mitchell to stay are not going to be the words spoken or unspoken by Dan Gilbert to some Associated Press editor. It's going to be what happens on the court. Secondly, what exactly is it that Dan Gilbert said for Donovan Mitchell that you're worried about? That Donovan loves the city? Would he have preferred if Dan Gilbert says, "I think Donovan hates the city and hates his teammates and thinks this core is dog shit. Talk to you when I talk to you. Happy Easter, everybody." I had a Twitter exchange with somebody who landed on the side of criticizing Gilbert for what he said. And their take was, he should have said that he doesn't comment on contract negotiations, similar to what Andrew Berry does. First thing I would say is there is no parallel between superstar movement in the NFL and the NBA. People talked about LeBron James the day he inked his extension, where he's going next. People have been talking about Donovan Mitchell since the day the Cavs acquired him, and that was with 3 full years of control. Those comments don't work in the NBA. Dan says, I don't comment on contract negotiations. Well, that is the comment that they bring to Donovan Mitchell and say, would you like to tell us your thoughts on this? And then he would have given us the exact same answer that he did. It doesn't matter what the answer was. Simply being put on the record about the subject was the end game. Now, I've seen people say he shouldn't have spoke to the media at all. He had to know they were going to ask him this question. I would love if Dan Gilbert was so determined to avoid the Donovan Mitchell discourse that he avoided the media for 3 full years of uncertainty while being the co-founder of the single largest mortgage lender, a top 30 Fortune 500 company. Because, you know, Donovan Mitchell wants to be vague, so I'm never going to speak to the media again. Because what if they ask me about him? I must put my whole public life secondary to the interests of Donovan Mitchell's desire for ambiguity. If I don't give the perfectly balanced, vague response that both says nothing, but also prevents Donovan Mitchell from being questioned about said nothing statement, then I have failed, and it may push Donovan Mitchell over the edge and out the door. Do you hear how ridiculous that criticism sounds? I understand this is a star-driven league. Donovan Mitchell is very, very important. But this idea that we need to shield him from a situation that he singularly created is ridiculous. Here's my read on the whole thing. I think it's pretty obvious. Nothing profound is about to be said. It doesn't really matter what Dan Gilbert said. Positive, negative, neutral. I prefer he go positive because it becomes a much bigger story if he goes neutral or negative. But really, he's just a useful idiot to the press to be able to take whatever quote he gave and bring it back to Donovan so you have a justifiable reason to ask Donovan yet again, who said he wants to remain focused on this season, to go on the record talking about the offseason, which is the only thing non-Cavs fans care about. Dan was just a means to an end. Just look at how it played out after that. What's the very next thing that happened?
And I know how you feel about this, but I do need to ask, like, your reaction to what they said and just them putting it out.
I think the biggest thing for me is, I said it before to you earlier, I mean, obviously you have to ask that question, but, you know, my focus is, I got a lot of things to focus on outside of that right now, to be honest. I got to focus on myself, getting back for this group, focus on Husk, you know, getting over the stretch, continuing to be ready when it comes time. So I'll handle that when it comes to, you know, and I understand you got to ask that question. I'm going to give you the same answer. You know, my teammates know me, you know, at the end of the day, and we're going out there trying to find ways to win the championship. And it starts with days like tonight, you know, but yeah, I know you have to ask, so I appreciate it.
You heard how the question began.
And I know how you feel about this, but I do need to ask, like, your reaction to what they said.
This was his media day answer.
You know, ultimately, when the season's over, we'll get to that. I've addressed that with the front office and whatnot. So for me, that's my biggest thing is, you know, I still have an opportunity to do the same thing next summer. This won't be the last time I probably have to answer this question. But for me, it's, we got something really special we can do here. And, you know, I think it starts with this season, and that's the main goal.
How has the substance of his message changed at all? I want to focus on this season. I can still deal with that next summer. We were there at media day. We're there now. And yet to some people, this perspective, which he's reiterated time and time again, was a revelation, new information that led to the definitive conclusion that, oh, hold on, let me just play it for you.
They're just going to have to trade him this summer. And by the way, he'll be the best trade guy in the market. There might be a month left of Mitchell on the Cavs. I just think he's out.
Now that's Bill Simmons, which you obviously know. But here's the crazy thing about that clip. You may think that that's in response to how much we've been playing like absolute dog shit lately. It's not. Bill arrived at that point because of his non-committal answer when asked to respond to Dan Gilbert's statements.
The word non-committal could not be strong enough about their asking about a Cleveland extension, because the owner had said something about, we feel really good about signing Donovan, and he wouldn't even be like, yeah, it'd be nice to stay here. Like, he was just like, I'm not talking about that. And he's clearly out. They're just going to have to trade him this summer. And by the way, he'll be the best trade guy in the market.
I have zero problem with people believing Donovan Mitchell is going to leave based on how we're performing. But if the justification is, well, he said the same thing that he said at media day and the year prior to that, and every time he's been asked about an extension, he said the exact same thing, it shouldn't change your opinion week to week as, oh no, he's happy now. Oh no, he's unhappy now. He's been ridiculously fucking consistent. Here's the last thing I want to say, and then I'll take Dan Gilbert's dick out of my mouth. But I'm sure some of you guys work for publicly traded companies. And every time a subject comes up which could negatively impact the future of the company or the company's earnings, what do you get when you talk to the CEO? You get positive, optimistic spin. We think sales will bounce back. No, AI's not going to replace people. It's a tool to increase efficiency and production.
Bullshit. Nah.
What Dan Gilbert is not going to do, he's not going to say, nah, we're probably fucked. What would be the purpose? That would be absolutely imploding the good vibes, whatever may remain, on this team. It serves no purpose, and it's self-inflicting harm. Now, the shitty part with Donovan Mitchell is that when you're in a situation going badly, and you're the team leader, and your future is unknown, you're in an absolute lose-lose situation. You comment on the reality that we're all living, and look, he's upset. He's not happy with the results. He's got a foot out the door. You don't comment, and look, he's checked out. He's got a foot out the door. You can't fucking win no matter what you do. And it brings me back to my point that what's going to determine Donovan Mitchell is what's happening on the court. That's really the only thing we need to focus on. Nothing has changed as to the advantages of why it's prudent for Donovan Mitchell to commit to nothing, to delay an extension. All that stuff existed before the season, it existed during the season, and the only thing that changes that is some sort of catastrophic injury that would make it prudent for him to exercise his option to get more guaranteed money. Outside of that, that story is not going to change. And that's why what Dan said doesn't bother me, and Donovan's response to it doesn't bother me. It's just rehashing the same subject and getting Donovan to make the same comment for the 1,000,000th time. Here's what I like that's transpired in the last week. Donovan went on the record after the Denver game and expressed how unacceptable the situation the Cavs have found themselves in is, how they have to be better, top to bottom, how this is not where they should be in April. He knew in making those comments about how everyone has to be better, 1 through 15, that the conversation would get redirected to become about his future. And he did it anyway, because it was important enough for him to send that message. The easy way out for him, we know what we have to do to get better. We'll get, it's just our health. We're not healthy. And once we get healthy, we'll be all. He didn't try to do that. He didn't make excuses. He didn't try to push a positive agenda. He said something that he knew would be received as a sign of discontent with the situation he's in, somewhat or largely negative, because it was a message that he felt like needed to get through to his team this season, which is still the Cavaliers. You could call that pro-Cav spin all you want, but I will say this. I think Bill Simmons' spin was bullshit. Donovan Mitchell has committed to being non-committal for over a year. Nothing has changed. And for that reason, and that reason alone, enemy of the pod. Fuck him! Bill Simmons, enemy of the pod. I will now zip Dan Gilbert up and move on to the next subject. Talk about a segue on to the victory tonight. The Cavaliers gave the young Jazz a pummeling. And it was a very satisfying win. This is what I will say about this. Donovan Mitchell talked about how the Cavaliers can play the way that they need to play for the postseason. They've done it this season. It's just they weren't at this point. Well, tonight was the closest thing I saw to a victory that resembled the style of play that we got during that January stretch that we have strung together. The ball was moving. Everybody was involved. Six guys on the Cavaliers with five or more assists. Truly a game where Darius Garland finished with 8 points and 8 assists. And despite that, I was very pleased with the way that he played, because between Max and Karis and Darius and Sam and Evan and Jarrett, the ball never stopped. It never stuck. And when they tried to trap Darius, he got the ball to the bigs to execute the next action, to find the next guy. There were kickouts for three. There was an Evan three early. There was aggressive attacks of the rim because, quite frankly, the Jazz didn't have the personnel to be able to keep the bigs off the board. Frobley essentially accounted for 40 and 20 tonight. 42 points, 19 rebounds, 7 offensive rebounds. They were dominant in that fashion, and Evan Mobley looked about as aggressive as I've seen him. That's now 3 games in a row he has scored 20 points. He has not done that at any point in his career. So for all the talk of the struggles of Darius Garland or Evan Mobley, when Evan Mobley gets touches, when he looks for his own, he's been exceptionally productive. And this game, because of teams' propensity to try to trap Darius Garland, Darius, Karras, they got the ball to the bigs, and the bigs punished them. When they gave them lanes to the rim, they attacked them. The Cavaliers, they were 9 for 10 from Evan and Jarrett in the first quarter. Those two alone scored 23 points. The Jazz as a team scored just 25. And JB talked about how effective the offense was in responding to the defensive game plan of the Jazz.
We try to take the play that's there, right? And we have enough talent on this team that if we just make the simple play, defenses are going to have to make tough choices. So they came out in the game and they were, hotting us or trapping us in pick and roll. So the play was just make it to the big and let the big guy do his thing.
Now, we went into the second quarter up 15, and they managed to cut it all the way down to 6 points about halfway through the second. And from that point on, you got one of the most dominant mini runs from the bigs possible. A couple of dunks from Jared Allen, including one that was exceptionally satisfying. Jared Allen was 8 for 9 in the first half. He had one miss. And the reason I bring that up is because that miss, that offensive possession, might have been the most satisfying Frobley possession we've seen since All-Star break, at a minimum. It involved multiple offensive rebounds. It involved Jared Allen eventually finishing the possession with a dunk, en route to a Frobley first half where they scored 34 of their 42 points. Jared Allen barely had to be used in the offense in the second half. But in the middle of that second quarter, when we needed them to reestablish control, we had a huge lead at the end of one, a 15-point lead heading into the second quarter. But just halfway through the second, it was down to 6. And then Mobley and Allen combined for 4 buckets in a short span. 3 dunks and a little push hook by Evan Mobley. And just like that, the Cavs closed the first half on a 17-2 run. And then because of the dominance we were getting inside, it opened things up in the second half for the shooters. And Max was perfect from outside the arc. Sam scored 4 of his 3-pointers in the second half, including 3 in the third that all came from the left side of the floor. There is something to be said for the way that the bigs got their buckets. They got on the move quick. They got some easy things, lobs and transition, catching the ball in motion before the defense could be set. And it made for some baskets that felt far easier than so many in this stretch of basketball has. Now, I'm not painting the Jazz like they're representative of the way that we'll be defended in the playoffs. They're not. But I think you can carry forward the principles. Even if the defenses we face are more disciplined, more talented individual defenders, what we got tonight was an example of how quick decisions, ball movement, pace can open things up for everyone. It's way harder to lock down Sam Merrill when the ball is moving side to side and to the top of the key and across the court. Guys will lose track of him, and he is thriving lately. 23 pointers over the last 5 games, including the Utah Jazz and Sam Merrill is clearly a winning combination, but 32 minutes tonight ties the season high for him. He has not logged that many minutes since the Paris game against the Brooklyn Nets. So when Donovan Mitchell comes back, obviously that'll be reduced significantly. But the basketball he's giving us, the basketball Max Strus gave us in the second half, and the basketball George, by and large, has been giving us tonight, kind of an anomaly in terms of the scoring. But those three have been very good, and they're very necessary with the futures of Dean Wade, the Vanilla Gorilla. I love that nickname. I don't know who's responsible for it on Reddit, but I love it. I've always pictured gorillas as having huge penises, so fundamentally, we're aligned. But back to Sam. 4 3-pointers or more in 4 of the last 5 games. 9 of the last 11 games, he scored in double digits.
Sam, you know, does kind of what Sam does. You know, he's consistent in that. He's a dangerous threat on the offensive end of the floor. If teams make mistakes and he's the recipient, you know, the basket's going, it's going in. But the pressure he puts on defenses from the perimeter, you know, is high level. And then, you know, I think undersold is his ability to compete on the defensive end of the floor. He does a great job of keeping guys in front of him. He's a physical player defensively, not afraid to put his chest on guys. So I thought he was great tonight.
He is starting to be a consistent threat. And I know a lot of that is health related, but I hope that we can carry this momentum forward because honestly, to be backsliding the way we have been since All-Star break and looking at this season and seeing so many of our bench performers having career years, it's hard to imagine how much better we can be with a little bit of luck and guys returning to form. When we added Max and Nyang, I don't think we actually thought Merrill would be a mainstay in the rotation. And in the last month, he has been in every single game, putting up 8 3-pointers per game. Tonight, he put up 12. Max and George Nyang combined for 14. 26 3-pointers between three players. Last season, the Cavaliers averaged 30 per game. A game like tonight, and even just the last several, Sam and George have been exceptional. The Denver game, hardly anyone looked good. But just consider this. George, this past month, the month of March, he averaged the same amount of points per game as our sixth man last year, Caris LeVert. Think about that. Caris had a great year from outside the arc. And George, who's not even our sixth man, shot 50-45 splits and gave us 12 points per game on 6 attempts from 3 last month. Now, on the evening, we made the same amount of 3-pointers as the Jazz, but the difference was, I mean, the biggest difference was turnovers. 11 backcourt turnovers for the starting backcourt for the Jazz. Not to mention, the first quarter, we had a 15-point lead, and you would think that we just dominated. Don't get me wrong, the Cavaliers starters, they shot 13 for 16, but the Jazz shot 63% from the floor themselves, and they trailed by double digits primarily because they could not hold on to the ball. In the first half alone, the Cavaliers dominated on points off of turnovers. They dominated on points in the paint. They shut out the Jazz on fast break points. Now, there weren't many bright points for the Jazz, but I thought their young guys, reasonably decent, specifically their forwards, Sensaba and Hendricks, were good. They combined for 10 triples and a big third quarter for the both of them. For a guy drafted late in the first round, I do think Bryce Sensaba is interesting as a guy who Ohio State fans know all too well. So to the standings, though, with the victory tonight, it wasn't just that the Cavaliers took care of business against the Utah Jazz. It's that the Miami Heat and Terry Rozier did us a favor. For all the trouble Rozier has given us, well, he dropped 8 3-pointers on the Knicks tonight in leading the Miami Heat over them. So now that Knicks loss, coupled with the Bucks falling to the Wizards tonight, gives us a game and a half back on the 2 seed and a game and a half up on both Orlando and New York. 2-5 is clumped within 3 games of one another, and currently 6-8 are packed within 2 games of one another. The Pacers, the Heat, and the Sixers. There is no real way to manufacture an ideal opponent because you have no control over what's happening below you or in the play-ins. Just because where we finish at the end of the regular season is set in stone doesn't mean the teams shuffling around below us couldn't end up fucking us otherwise. So obviously this was going to be the answer I give, but just play it out. See what happens. Ideally, you end up in the 2-3 slot so that you can avoid the Celtics in the second round if you do advance. But it is not going to be easy no matter what happens. We could be facing a very difficult first-round opponent, one that some people even view us as an underdog to, despite being a higher seed. All, you know, contingent on how healthy we are and the way that we're playing. But I'm not going to put too much into tonight because this wasn't a great opponent. One thing I do want to do, though, is go to the audio mailbag because we did get an entrant.
Please leave a message.
And now a message recorded and submitted to me at CavsPod.com. Joining us today, it's Matt in Phoenix, Arizona. Matt, what do you got?
Hey, buddy, hope you're doing good. Just want to say I love you. We fucking took those cocksuckers down. Fuck them. And we're going to keep fucking sticking it to them forever. Fuck those guys. We're number one. We kick the shit out of them. You're number one. We're all number one together. And fuck them. I fucking hate them with all my heart. And we're going to keep kicking their ass every fucking day. That's why I was here fucking at 4 a.m. again today. I don't give a fuck. We're going to keep kicking ass. And so, love you, man. Let's fucking go.
Now, if you don't realize that I'm totally full of shit, that's Matt Ishbia, the Suns owner, leaving a message for a business partner of his, celebrating the fact that Matt Ishbia's mortgage lending company surpassed Dan Gilbert's mortgage lending company for the most, you know, mortgages brokered or whatever. I don't know the terminology. The point is, it is very difficult to make a billionaire look like a sympathetic figure.
You fucking took those cocksuckers down. Fuck them.
And between that voicemail and the article that ESPN dropped today detailing the feud between Ishbia and Dan Gilbert, Ishbia comes off like an unhinged piece of shit. I'm not saying that Dan Gilbert's not, but between the attacks on him for showing a little bit of optimism and this bullshit happening tomorrow, we need to get a win for Dan Gilbert, simply because this man deserves it more than Matt Ishbia. The bar may be exceptionally low, but in terms of human garbage, Dan Gilbert clears. So let's go out there and get a victory tonight. Couple programming announcements. I have added to my webpage an entry form so you can get in. If you've left a rating or review, I said when we got over 100, I wanted to thank all of you by giving you some kind of cash prize. So I've put the entry form up on CavsPod.com. It's very simple. You basically just fill in your name and your PayPal or Venmo handle. There is one screener question. It is, who is the inaugural enemy of the pod? If you don't know that answer, you don't deserve the money. You know who the second one is? It's Bill Simmons. Who came before him? That's all you got to know. And then I will collect those names till the end of the regular season, and I will draw someone at random. So check that out at CavsPod.com. You can also submit an audio mailbag if you are so inclined. Hopefully, we get a win against the Suns. Then I'll be in LA for that back-to-back set as the Cavaliers take on the Lakers and the Clippers. Don't know if I'll be potting, maybe at those games. We'll just see how it goes, shall we? Okay. Thank you to everybody who's listened. I'm Bob Schmidt, lifelong Cav fan, voice of Fox Sports Radio. This is the Fear the Fro podcast, and I'm saying it all stagnated because I'm stalling as I try to cue up the close. Here we go.
Okay, that's enough.
Stop it!
This has been another Fear the Fro.
It's over.
Podcast.
That was pathetic.
If you enjoyed what you heard today,
put it on the highlight reel.
Please consider subscribing. Check out FroPod.com for more Cavaliers and NBA coverage.
That's what's on display here.